Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So, what did I miss? Anyone?
Chest out, chin high. This is Ross's words here. That's how we left Celtic Park yesterday. I didn't leave Celtic Park like that because I was stuck in anniversary in-law hell while the game was going on. But here I am. And if you're going to lose 5-2 to Scottish champions, then that is the way to do it. What a performance from the men in navy blue. All walking about as proud bears today after the result at Celtic Park yesterday. Hello, I am John McAnally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. And as I'm joined by the ginger god of the pod, a man probably recovering, and his voice is probably just recovered from Celtic Park yesterday. It's the one-man band in the main stand, the king of the prawn sandwich brigade. It is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. And it is a good evening. It's like 20 to 9 at night.
I know. This is the only time. We usually record, obviously, on a Sunday. So, but obviously, the game kind of got in the way of that yesterday. And then I was at Ryan Adams in the Usher Hall. So, I, in between having to sit, you know, my in-laws, God bless them, you know, had their 50. It was their 54th anniversary, Ross. This is what I got. And I spoke to...
That's
because they missed their 50th during COVID, they've went for 54th rather than the 55th, which is the Emerald anniversary. So I had word with my father-in-law, who's a big football supporter, loves Hibs, and I was like, Vic, come on now, son. What's going on here? He said, I'm really sorry. He actually said, I'm really, really sorry.
And really it didn't help
that one of the... their friends as a Celtic supporter as well. So obviously giving it the big end when we're like 1-0 up, then 2-1, and then the goals started just flying in after that kind of 70th gone. He had great delight in telling me the score during that time. How was it though, Ross? Tell me everything. I want to know every little detail.
It was a weird but brilliant afternoon, if I'm being honest, John. Pre-match, Elliot's was bouncing, 3 busloads in the Grim Hotel. Absolutely fantastic. Good banter, as you would expect, all the way through. And as soon as the fans got into the stadium, I've never heard a noise at an away game. And we've had some brilliant away days. Dunfermline away this year, Montrose last year, Aki's away. The noise yesterday was just on a different level. And you know how they talk about like limbs and scenes when you score and there's like bodies everywhere? Both goals were like that yesterday, because it wasn't like, it's not as if we scored a consolation. This was two meaningful goals and limbs, as they say, limbs.
I've seen all the videos. They looked absolutely amazing. And I actually spoke to Cole Donaldson today. It's been a mad day, Ross. This is my second podcast day. I've also done Super Scoreboard. And then out of nothing, because Ewan and Cole Donaldson, you and Cameron and Cole Donaldson, I've now become quite good pals because they like to talk about the Jambos. So Ewan, unknown to me, had invited Cole onto the podcast today. So I was, Ewan said, I've got a guest coming in, and I went down. I was like, all right, Captain Cole. So I was chatting away to Cole, and we had him on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Give it a listen if you haven't. Really interesting insight from Cole. And he was just saying, you know, like we were obviously talking about that clock at Celtic Park. He was saying, I swear to God, it's slow. And he was talking about the mental toughness of a game like that and how you have to be concentrated, focused, not just the physical side, which he was saying he was just knackered with it as well. But he said it's the mental concentration that really tires you, because you just think you have to be on it all the time, you know?
I can get that, because it's obviously tough enough just for the punters having to watch it, but you did sense that yesterday. It was one of those days where, a bit like 97, you're watching the clock after that first goes in, and you're thinking, right, it's a long time we go, and it did.
That was the 97 was the longest 90 minutes I think I've ever sat through when Paul Mowgli scored.
I agree, and I think that must have been second longest yesterday. But I've listened, watched the one with Cole earlier on. He comes across really well. I love
great,
listening
yeah.
to Cole. I love that. He's obviously done our live event before. Hopefully, he'll come back at some point as well. But he was just, what a great insight into the game yesterday from a player's perspective, a Falkirk player's perspective. And he's very, very funny with it. So as you said, if you get a chance, as well as watching this one, give that one a watch as well. Brilliant.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we're going to get right into the game because I need to know everything about it. I was seeing Ryan Adams after my in-laws dinner, then went out to see Ryan Adams. So I got in from the gig at about kind of 11:30. I was like trying to find a replay of the match or highlights. So I've not come across it yet. So I have seen the goals, but you're going to have to hold my hand right through this.
It's all right.
I'll be sitting down once I get in from work, which I've been in here since 10 o'clock today. So it's now 8:30. And I'm looking forward to sitting there with a cup of tea and a biscuit and sitting watching that tonight. I really am. Right, before we get into anything, got to say thanks to our sponsors, the Falkirk Football Fans and Train. T8s, we all know, supporting each other through football, making memories. They arrive as opponents at the stadium and they leave as friends. They've got their new initiative, which they teamed up with the Falkirk Foundation Walking Football Squad. And they're got this, like I say, super vets football, like saying it like that, which they're doing down at the stadium. And it's basically like kind of five-a-side, old-school five-a-side rules, strictly for over 50s, and it's 8-a-side. And that's happening at the stadium between 5 and 6pm every Friday. So get down and get involved in that. If that's not your thing, though, obviously they've got the normal games as well, the T8s. That happens at the stadium on a Monday between 8 and 9 and Tuesday between 7:30 and 8:30. So get involved with the guys. Like I say, we talk about what a great bunch of boys they are. And, you know, if you want to get involved with them, speak to either Ian, Willie or Doogie. All the links are in the bio. Get involved with that. Like I say, and I say it all the time, you're fed up with the mates you've got. Go and make new mates and go and hang out with those guys. You're bound to make a friend there because they're all absolute top guys. T8s, get involved Monday, 8 to 9 at the stadium, or Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. And the Super Vets football is on Friday, 5 to 6 at the stadium as well. News wise, let's talk about we've got a new signing. We've got a new toy, Ross.
Yeah, we do. We do have a new toy, and it sounds like a promising toy we've got as well, doesn't it? Really, really chuffed with it. The feedback from Dundee fans and Dundee punters on social media is very positive about this young lad. So I am very excited to see how he gets on. Obviously, there was some chatter that had Captain Cole not made the starting 11. Luke might have got a start.
Well, I was speaking to Captain Cole today, and I think that was actually going to be the plan, that if Cole didn't make it, because he said he was really struggling after the Airdrie match. He was struggling with his injury, and I don't think he had trained much. Like, and I think there was all rumours that he hadn't trained on Friday, but I know Cole said, I would not have played if I didn't think I could have. And I mean, he was the Falkirk man of the match yesterday, picked by the sponsors.
He was, and he was fantastic, and you wouldn't have looked at him at all at any point yesterday, John, where you think, oh, he shouldn't have played, or he didn't look fit.
Cole did say that, but he said that was going to be the plan, I think, because we were talking about, and I'm sure everyone was talking about the group chat, because there was all sorts of rumours that Cole might not make it. And, you know, do you throw in the young guy, or do you shuffle across, you know, Sean in the centre half, or Keelan in from the other end, and then bring in Finn, or bring in McCann, a left back? But yeah, apparently that was going to be the plan. This young kid has come with a lot of promise. I've reached out to my mate Mark, who's been on the podcast, who obviously supports Montrose, and I said, right, what is the crack with him? Now, I think he played in the 7-1 game, but Mark says he arrived at his own loan last season, hesitant start but immense by the end, solid, fast, and can hit a shot as well. One of those players that could play anywhere through the middle, and he was surprised he's not making the bench at Dundee because he was so impressed by him at Montrose.
I think, yeah, that's brilliant feedback for Mark, and it sort of typifies what we've seen so far online. He made his debut, sorry, he started the Dundee Derby, obviously, in August, played a couple of the games in the League Cup as well, group stages, hence why he was able to play on Sunday, should have been able to. But I think he sounds like a player that's got loads of promise, and the fact that we've got him all season rather than just till January, I think, is brilliant, because do you know what? Even if he's not getting a start, in the next few weeks. He'll be integrating himself with the players really, really quickly. There's a fantastic camaraderie between the players, and I'm sure he'll slot right in.
I saw pictures of him training for the first time, and he had a big smile on his face, and I'm sure like he's totally, you'll get integrated into that squad. And what it does mean is we still don't know how far Tom is. I was trying to nudge Colin that today as well. I think Tom might be a few weeks away. You know, so what it does mean is that we don't have to then shuffle over Sean or shuffle over Keelan. We know how important, you know, Sean obviously is with his goals this season, and Keelan, we've seen what a player he's grown into as well. So that's the good thing about it. It means they can concentrate on what they do best, which is a left back and a right back.
Absolutely. And one thing that yesterday showed, John, and you'll see it in the highlights as well, we don't want, in the nicest possible way, we don't want Finn Yates at right back. He was brilliant yesterday in that midfield position. He was.
I need to ask questions about this because obviously the team lines came in. I got them through and I was like, right, are we playing at that? I thought, oh my God, are we going for a back three here?
No,
but not right. I will get into it when we get into the game. So yeah, Luke Graham, looking forward to seeing what he can do at the Bairns. Falkirk women or girls? 8-2 Sunday. Get in. 4 for Farmington were the latest to be slain by the Falkirk women. Brogan Anderson, hat-trick hero. Gemma Mason, Ella Stewart, Mary Smith and Amy Doherty all getting the goals. Where's Iona? Surely 8-2. Iona's not getting a goal. What's happening?
I know. I felt bad on Sunday because obviously normally we give them a lot of attention on Sundays for their scores and the team lines and stuff. But literally from about 2:20 PM, John, I had zero signal. What is it with football stadiums and the fact you have fuck all signal, by the way? Genuinely, I couldn't even do our updates.
I was getting all these messages suddenly coming in, like real, like at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock from you guys.
Bonkers. There was no signal at all. So I couldn't do the usual goal flashes for the first team or the women's team, actually. Yeah. And when I eventually did get signal, which was about 6 o'clock, it was what a superb scoreline again, and that's them second in the full league table. Brilliant.
Yeah, and we're delighted to announce actually that we will be giving 20% of our ticket sales from the Falkirk Daft Live at Behind the Wall next month, of course, and that is going to go into the Falkirk women's team. I don't think they're getting the funding they really wanted, so we said, well, we'll just take the 20%, and rather than putting it into the foundation, we put it directly into the women's team, because we've obviously got an association there with the captain's armband sponsorship for the girls. So delighted to be involved with them, and you know, look at, they're absolutely flying this season, the girls. So keep it going, and brilliant to be involved with them. Absolutely loving that. Couple of games have been moved, Ross.
Yep, so confirmed Dunfermline away has been brought forward from Saturday the 28th of December. Obviously, the usual 3 o'clock kickoff. However, it's moved back to Friday the 27th, 7:45 PM, and that's going to be live on BBC Scotland. There's also a rumour, because I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but there's a very, very strong rumour that the Queen's Park away game in November is going to be moved for TV purposes as well.
I have heard that rumour as well from a source that I have, that it will be probably getting moved, which is great because I'm doing a sportsman's dinner down at the Lee Park with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Tickets still available. I've actually got a few tickets still available for that. So that if that moves to Friday, it means I can go and see the football on Friday night and then Lee Park on Saturday for sportsman's dinner. So that'll be good. So that's happening at the Lee Park in the aid of lymphoma awareness. That is going to be quite a good night, actually. So if you want, there are tickets, that with limited tickets available for that, but it's Mark Wilson from Celtic, Gordon DL, Raith Rovers legend, as he likes to say, both on Super Scoreboard, both good guys, and it'll be some laugh, by the way, some of the stories they're going to come away with. So that's happening at the Lee Park, November the 20th.
How many tickets have you got left, John? Is there many left?
There's about 10, 15 tickets left for it. You know, it's in memory of my good friend Gordon Miller, who passed away 10 years ago from the disease. We had a couple of sportsmen there, so we're doing this. That ideally, if the Queen's Park game is moving to the Friday night, it means you can all come down for a bit of a night out down at the Wee Park. So drop us a DM if you fancy tickets. I'll see if I can get you sorted out for that. Supporters buses, there's still spaces going to Kirkcaldy on the Ken McAllister FSC, which is the Roman Bar supporters bus. That is leaving at 12 noon. You can book that via the Facebook page. And of course, our sponsors behind the wall. It's almost full for Kirkcaldy. And remember, we keep going on about this amazing deal behind the wall. £10 return on the bus. You take your slip in and you get a pint. So effectively, it's a fiver and a pint.
It's a brilliant deal.
So get in touch with all the guys. And remember, at Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global. The Invincible glasses are there. Get the Invincible beers, great. And you know, they've got a lot of good stuff happening behind the wall. Check out their website, behindthewall.co.uk. But the one that I'm missing, I might be off this week.
Yeah, you were meant to be on holiday this week, right?
I might be off this week. And this is why I'm in it 9:30 now on a Monday, because we're so short staffed. So, yes, I'm missing this Glasgow Distillery Whiskey Tasting happening at the pub this Thursday, and I'm gutted to miss it. It's £30. It starts at 7:00. Get involved with that. If you like your whiskey, I think it's going to be a really interesting night. So get involved. That's this Thursday at Behind the Wall, 7 p.m. £30 a ticket. And get down. I keep saying to the 28th of September, which is this. It's bank holiday for a lot of people this weekend, Ross. And Ross Wayne will be down at the Country Brunch Saturday. He'll be there. He'll have a Stetson on. He'll show you the dance to Jimmy Nail's Crocodile Shoes. And, you know, you can maybe duet. You could be Kenny Rogers Ross, and we could maybe find a female, do the Dolly Parton bit, and that's all happening behind the wall. The Country Brunch, £20 a ticket, and country's all the rage. All the kids like country.
It's very on the rage just now. Obviously, yeah. You're right. I need to make an appearance here before we travel to Kirkcaldy for the game, don't I? And if there was a Dolly Parton lookalike, I would be well up for that as well, if I'm being honest.
Brilliant. So yeah, loads of stuff going on behind the wall. All the details are in the links below. Look at that, I'm like a proper YouTuber. Details in, like and subscribe, they're all below. So yeah, check that out. But I want to talk about this game. I missed it. I want to see it. I want to know everything. Oh, tell me everything. And we're going to do it in the company of our guest pundit this week. It's Craig Penman.
Hey, Craig.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Craig. Good. Well, I need to hear all about this, but we've got to get through the pleasantries first. So, Craig, first Falkirk match.
I think the first one that I can really remember, there's three that stand out for me. And one was an away day to Clyde Bank with my dad. And I fell asleep in the car there, and then he told me that I missed the game. So I got really upset, but I hadn't actually missed the game. He was just winding me up. So that was the very first one. So that was, I can't remember much after that. The first real one I remember was the B&Q Cup final against St. Mirren.
Brilliant.
So that's. I just can remember everything about it. I can remember going to that wee social club before it.
Yep.
Going to Motherwell, and then obviously winning 3-0, and I think that is my very, very first memory.
Yeah.
And then first memory of Brockville was the 3-3 draw against Kilmarnock.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A midweek game.
Yep.
I think going back to early 90s, so round about that kind of time, that's my kind of first few memories of Falkirk and my dad taking me with his friends. So yeah, that's it.
That cup final's a good start though.
Absolutely. That was a, you know, for being so young, that was an absolute fantastic day out. And it just, you know, going to that wee social, that was a great wee social club.
I think was it the one beside Fir Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah, still there. Yep.
It's a great wee social club. So yeah,
we've had a game out of Motherwell. You know, it's
that's quite a good day. Next year, John.
Next year.
I think the last one was it not Casper's debut? Was that not the
semi final against Kilmarnock was at Fir Park, wasn't it? Yeah.
Was that the last time we were at Fir Park?
No, we would have played them in the Premier League after that, I think, because that would have been 2000.
Yeah, that's right.
7 or 8. And we would have played them in 2010, but you're right, it's been a long, long
time. Yeah, a lot of times it's been some of the, a lot of those grounds, you know. Who's the worst? We've been asking all this season. Some people don't like to answer this question. Some people take great delight in answering. Who's right? Go for your favourite then. Who's the worst you've seen in the Navy boy?
Scott Finders, the keeper.
Oh, what a name that is. Scott Butter Flinders, amazing.
You know, he was absolutely, we've had some amazing keepers in the past. Schmeichel, Krul, you know, but we got this boy in for loan, and he was him and the Australian boy as well.
Oh, Scott Higgins
I've been trying to rack my brains all day.
Yeah.
The one he let in, and he was one of the biggest keepers you'll ever see. And he got lobbed for the halfway line. And he was on his line. It's like, how?
I'm looking at Scott Flinders' career. He's still playing to this day, by the way.
No.
He's now, I swear to God, he's playing for Mansfield.
What age is he?
He is now 30. He's only 38. Now, before he came to Falkirk, he actually had 5 international caps for England under-20s.
I don't believe any of that. Is that from Wikipedia?
This is from Wikipedia.
He's edited that himself.
He's edited that, yeah. He's absolutely edited that.
Flinders' transfer fee from Barnsley to Palace was believed to be 250,000 with a potential rise to 1 million depending on appearances.
I bet it was just 250 though.
There you go.
They two keepers were horrendous for us. As much as we say about, obviously we've gone about Leo, but they two were...
Leo, I think Leo's in that bracket though, isn't he? Like
he just looked like,
he just looked like somebody picked him at the crowd. He was that bad.
We've had a few,
but aye, there you go. Scott Flinders will put him. Well, we should really take a note of all these and make an 11 by the end of the season, Ross.
Well, I've this weekend before the game, I'll track back and we'll put a team
together. Brilliant, brilliant. Right, let's get into it. Let's talk about this game yesterday. I have seen nothing but the goals and I cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say about it. Same team as yesterday, apart from one change. Now, we've talked about Cole and the fact that there was worries about him starting and thus the reason we went out and signed Luke Graham. Cole started. That was the first thing I looked at in the timesheet. I was like, right, Cole's playing great. And then I looked, scrolled down, I was like, hold on a minute. Finn's playing. And then that started me going, are we going for a 3-5-2 here? You know, are we going to shuffle Mackie across or are we going, Keelan across into the right centre back? That wasn't the case though, Ross.
No, it wasn't. And I really liked Finny Esther, as he's known on social media. I thought he was outstanding yesterday. He was
really
genuinely for me, he was the top three in our team yesterday. Donaldson, McKeever and Mr. Yeats. I thought he was brilliant.
Where in the midfield was he? He wasn't playing the 10, was he? Was he playing the 10? Was Finn playing the 10?
Well, it was the 10, but he honestly, see when I say covered every blade of grass, John, he supported Brad and Tate. He really, like, he supported them massively, but he was here, there and everywhere. And I know we'll talk about his goal, but that was just beautiful as well. And I felt so sorry for him when he had to go off. And thankfully, it sounds like both him and McKeever are going to be okay, but genuinely, he just looked phenomenal yesterday.
Really, what did you make of him in that 10 role, Craig?
You know, I thought like Ross says, he was all over the park. The energy, he just never stops, and he's like that when he's at right back. He's one of these versatile players that, you know, I think doesn't matter where you put him. He'll give you 100%. And I think that's what, you know, I don't know why Aberdeen let him go. I really don't. He's got so much energy and so much, and he's built on it. And he's been phenomenal.
See, before we critique him even more, there was a guy in front of me yesterday, and it was the most random thing I've ever heard at the football, John. He says, because we're talking about the game, and I overheard him talking about the game, and he says, I think Finn Yeats has grown his hair out. What a fucking random comment to say at halftime. You're 2-1 up against Celtic. I think Finn Utes is growing his hair
out. It does look like he's growing his hair out, though. It's a very valid point.
John, it's not a very fucking valid point at all. I have time in Celtic. Come on, Jason. Come on.
Why do you think John McGowan made that decision? Because Gary's obviously, we know what Gary does in terms of his link-up play. Do you think it was more, was it just for Finn's energy, Ross, that you think that Gary lost out?
Quite possibly. Yesterday was going to be a day for, even before kickoff, we're all thinking that we're going to have to be our A game anyway, but from a fitness perspective, they are going to run us ragged. So it could well have been from a fitness perspective, but also, as we've just said, like, Finn is really tenacious. We need somebody biting at the heels of your Callum McGregor's, your Hattati's. Shout out, by the way, to one of our listeners who sent the Celtic team in at 10:30 yesterday morning, and it was bang on. I don't know if you noticed that in the DMs, John.
But, yeah,
I'm not naming shame because he might lose his contact, but yeah, the Celtic team was still a very strong team. And they had to make, obviously, changes, as we know, to try and rectify the situation. But I think Yeats was put in there for energy, but for also, he's just got that bit of bite and bit of dig about him.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like this Finiesta. This is a good new nickname for him.
I'm liking it as well, isn't it?
Liking that. I'm actually surprised that they didn't push Tate one up, as opposed to putting Finn in at the 10. I'm surprised that, you know, we know what Spencer can do, but I actually thought with, obviously, the goals he's scored and what he's done this season, that Dylan Tate might have moved into that 10 if that was the system we were playing.
I thought that's what he was going to do as well. When I looked at the team and seen the team, it was like, well, where can we move people about? And I thought maybe Tate drops back and then, Tate moves forward and Finn slots into that. But I think with Finn's energy, he's just all over the place. He's like a wee energizer bunny, isn't he? He just never stops.
Yeah.
I think it also meant we didn't have to make too many changes. Keep Tate and Spencer together, because that is the best partnership in the Championship. And I tell you one thing, I don't think there's too many more midfields that have got a better double pairing than that, genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you saw Celtic's team sheet, did you have a glimmer of hope, Craig, when you saw, obviously, the names that were missing?
You know, when I seen it, I was like, well, he's also made all these changes, but that team on paper should still be beating a Falkirk. But you just never know. It's always the same, eh? It's happened with Falkirk, it's happened with other teams. When we start making all these changes, you know, everything gets kind of out of place and it's a bit disjointed in a way. But, you know, you could see it with Celtic as well. You could see they weren't gelling in the way they've been playing. And all the comments have said that as well. I mean, the amount of comments have been like, this isn't the Celtic that everybody's raving about just now. So,
yeah.
We say, obviously, they made 8 changes, Celtic, to the team that they played in the Champions League, but you still look down and go, well, there's Kasper Schmeichel, Danish international, won the Premier League. Anthony Ralston, Scotland international, 14 caps for his country. Stephen Welshman. Austin Trusty, the boy for Barcelona.
He was shy, by the way. The boy for Barcelona was rancid.
I called it, by the way. As soon as I saw it, like, he will not know what to do with Alfie Agyeman. And I absolutely called that. Because
Alfie schooled him all.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was hilarious.
It was brilliant. Brilliant.
I mean, this boy's been on the bench for Barcelona time this season. But he's not faced Alfie Agyeman. But no, I mean, you were joking. Callum McGregor, surprisingly, I thought they might have rested him because of the amount of football that boy plays. But, you know, when you see Callum McGregor, Bernardo, Hattati, then you go, right, okay.
It's still a brilliant team.
It's still, I mean, it is, because, and then obviously the £9 million striker up front as well, and Republic of Ireland international Adam Eder. So you think we've still got a big game in our hand, but I guess there's a little bit of hope. And, you know, we go. Miles, by the way, I saw that save straight away. Brilliant. I'm saying Miles, Nicky. Great save, like, straight away. And that kind of settled us. And let's just talk about you know, I could not believe it. I'm sitting there waiting on my second course, and the message comes. The guy who's the Celtic supporter sitting opposite me says, "Oh, it's a goal." I went, "Ah, oh, well, back to my hake." And for Falkirk, I went, "What? Hold on!" And I was like, suddenly, Ross McKeever scores a brilliant goal. Ross, talk me through that.
It was just like I'm smiling about it, thinking back at it already. I must have watched it like a ton of times since then. Do you know, it was all a bit of a blur because, see, at the time, obviously you saw the cross going in, and I thought Alfie had, like, it looked like he'd chested it down, and I'm thinking, Christ, this is like a wonder goal. It's not quite that. Vai, the Barca boy, obviously heads it down. And it was just like in slow motion, and you think, well, no one's running at this ball bar Roscoe. And then you're thinking, he's not going to hit it for there because he's 25 yards out. He's not going to hit it for there. And he hits it the sweetest strike, John, honestly. Like, yeah. See that Queen's Park effort he had, remember the first game of the season, right? You think, there's a strike. If that goes in, it's goal of the season. I think the cross, the granted it was a Celtic knockdown, but the finish was just absolutely fantastic. And Craig, you'll back me up here. The scenes in the away end, like people were on their arse, they were on their backs, they were on, honestly.
Phenomenal.
Just, it was, I don't know, where were you sitting, Craig? I was the front sort of section beside, near the ultras, and it was just absolutely carnage.
So I was kind of further back up then in the middle, kind of smack bang with the corner line. But when he hit it, you think, Casper's gonna save this, eh? And it goes in, and you're just like,
wow.
It was a great hit.
Phenomenal strike. He couldn't hit it any better.
Yeah. No. What worries about the VAR check? Because obviously there was calls for maybe Alfie fouling your boy, but slight concerns.
Like Ross says, I've watched it a few times now, and I actually thought he does actually drag him down a bit. But you know, it's about time that we get something, because to be fair, it kind of comes as we're going to go further on. Mm. I think some of the goals later on were offside, but.
Well, there's that question there. Then, of course, Celtic, as expected, get back into the match. I was speaking to Cole Donaldson about this, actually. He was saying that they were really angry with that goal that Bernardo scored because it's something they'd worked on in training, like from the second phase of the corner and stuff. And obviously, it's a cracking volley. And, I mean, Nicky's got no chance of it. He's saving that. But I think the team were very angry about losing that goal in the way that they did. Nicky's got no chance for that, has he?
No. I felt for him because he was very exposed at that point. And as Cole's made mention on that podcast that you were on today, Johnny, we could have stopped the cross. We could have thrown a body in as the cross was coming in at the second phase as well. But fair play to him. It was a belter of a finish. And you obviously see when Celtic score, especially when you're in that corner, it's a bloody loud noise when they score in it, and you're thinking, oh Christ, how's this going to affect us? Even just that noise of celebration with the lights on and the music and stuff, and you think, right, hopefully we respond here. And Christ, did we respond? It was because it was Falkirk after that, John.
Yeah, that's amazing to go there and do that. And like we've said, I mean, no other team this season has taken the lead at Celtic Park. So, but then to go out and looking at there was a lot of chances, a lot of plaudits with our pressing game. Craig, is that what's created a lot of the chances?
Yeah, I think so. I think we put. For probably the first 60 minutes, we just put so much into it and so much energy in that. And then it was non-stop. Eh? And, you know, I kind of feel for the guys. Like, we're not going to come up against a Celtic every week where they've got that fitness level and energy. Because I think any other team, we would have ran over them. It was really good. And just, it was good to see that they never changed the philosophy. It was just, it was the same as what they would do in the Championship, which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everyone's saying. You know, we'll get into the response from Celtic supporters later on. But the fact that we went out there and we tried to play our game, and we all knew that's what McGinn was going to do. He was never going to park the bus. He was never going to change what has made us so successful. But then I'm sitting, moving on to my dessert by this point. Nice limoncello sponge, by the way. It was very nice. But then I'm getting an alert on my phone going, scored. It was another one of those, oh, that's 2-1, that'll do it. Oh, just give me another glass of wine, please. And then, what? Finn Yeats has scored! Finn fucking Yeats! What?
Johnny, just honestly, you were shocked. I didn't even know it was Finn at first, because obviously you just saw the ball getting crossed in by Alfie. Brilliant cross, by the way. And somebody's got their head on it. And it's not until you're finished with the honestly, I think I was picking Big Gaz Hamilton up off the floor. And you obviously it comes over the tannoy. Finn Yeats, you're like, that was a beautiful header. A beautiful header.
I was so well placed. I mean, let's not what happened down the right-hand side. Keelan and Alfie, again, just ragged on the Barcelona boy. Absolutely, like, welcome to Scotland, son. Here's Alfie arguing, boom, have that. And a delightful cross from Alfie as well, by the way. It's something we've talked about in working in his game, Ross.
Mm. Yeah, no, he has. And this wasn't just a pump into the box, John. No. See, watch it back again. He looks up twice. Yep. He sees Finn. He knows exactly where he's putting this. And Finn's obviously got a chance to watch this. And if the log for Keelan Adams, we'll need to talk about him as well. Cumbernauld to Parkheads in 6 months anyway. But the ball over was beautiful. Alfie's looked up twice, crossed it over. And as you've said, Finn's just caressed the ball into the back of the net. Schmeichel's got absolutely no chance.
A lot of Celtic supporters pointing fingers at Schmeichel for that, Craig. You agree he's got no chance to get down to that?
Like Ross says, I mean, the cross was fantastic. As he was looking up, and then if you watch Finn's run, he runs away from the two Celtic players, and it's just a cushioned header. He knows where he's going with it. You know, you would think he was a top class striker.
Yeah.
You know, that gets, but it's just a nice cushioned header. He's just directing it. Schmeichel had no chance. He changed the direction of the ball, and it was the.
I'm not sure Kasper could have done much more there. He was following, his body was following the movement as to the goal. He's never going to come for it at that angle as well, because it's not as if it was like on the 6 yard line. This is between the penalty spot and the edge of the box, so it's still far out enough that you would expect the defenders to deal with it. But honestly, John, again, it was like Mark II of the same celebration, just people in disbelief and just wanting to enjoy the moment. Honestly,
100 times wilder.
You've got to enjoy. What, obviously, another VAR check, as they check every goal with VAR. You know, again, speaking to Callum McGregor was in the referee's ear saying that was a foul. But actually, they were checking the goal for offside. And Ross McKeever, they were looking if Ross McKeever was offside.
Was it Ross? I wasn't sure if it was Alfie.
I thought it was Alfie to start with. When I've watched it again, I'd like to say a few times as well, and I thought it was Alfie. I must admit,
maybe it was Alfie, actually.
It was tight.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, but not well deserved, John. Not a foul. It's just, again, it's just Alfie's just big and strong and just does what Alfie does. But brilliant from Finn. Absolutely fantastic. And you can see what it meant to him in his celebrations. He just loved it. He doesn't score. I mean, that's the only second goal for Falkirk. It's just great to see young Scottish players, you know, getting that chance and getting out and playing that. And like you say, Craig, I'm you know, glad that Aberdeen let him go. It's just obviously great for us.
I think it's his versatility. You know, we've seen him at right back, we've seen him in the centre, we've seen him in midfield, we've seen him in a more advanced role. I don't think he cares where he plays. He just wants to play football.
Yeah, love it.
And you know, that's what it's all about, Nige, isn't it?
Yeah.
Half time, Falkirk 2, Celtic 1. What was it like at half time then? What was the kind of feeling in the stands and in the concourses?
Do you know, it was funny because like I didn't leave my seat at halftime, but you were looking round, like I kept looking round, and you'd see people like up in the stand or somewhere else, and they're all just doing the same face. It's like, I don't know. It's like people were speechless for that halftime. And I don't know about you, Craig. I didn't feel at that point nervous because I'm thinking, well, we've scored two goals, right? Which was amazing anyway.
A great time to score a second goal as well.
It was a brilliant time. We'd had two brilliant chances before we even scored. So it looked like and felt like there was only one team going to win this football game. Granted, we knew in the back of our minds that they had the people on the bench that could come on and change it. And you knew at some point they probably were going to put that on. My hope was we were going to get a third goal that was going to help that. Because I think if we went 3-1 up, and I might be way off, I think we go on and win that game.
I'm the exact same. I was thinking the exact same as what Ross has just said there. It's like, if we can go and maybe get a quick early goal after half-time, we're winning that.
Because at 2-1, it's, you know, you're thinking, well, Celtic will need another goal to get back into the game. But at 3-1, the crowd, the murmuring start round the stadium. Unfortunately, though, we look at Celtic's bench, and that's what they looked at. And then they went, right, it's time to stop messing about here, boys. Let's bring on the cavalry. Four changes, which just goes to show how, you know, respected they were, or how serious they were taking that game, because the big guns came off the bench, and then it was suddenly like, okay.
And it was the subs who made a massive impact. Yeah. When you look at, obviously, their goals, they were either scored by a sub or set up by a sub, and it just, yeah, just it was a hard half of football. It wasn't all John, but like obviously we lost Big Roscoe, we lost Finny Esther. As we said, hopefully they're just knocks. I think they are just knocks.
Yeah.
But it set the tone, and we looked a bit disjointed after they went off. Like we missed Roscoe's physicality.
I think losing Ross was a big, big. He was a great output.
Aye.
And the amount of headers he was winning was
phenomenal.
And these are against Premier Champions League players, you know.
Exactly.
And he was bullying them.
He was.
And then when he went off, and you noticed it was, you know, Gary Oliver. No disrespect to Gary, but he just.
It's not his game. That's not his game. No.
No.
Yeah, and it's the worry. Like we've said in this podcast many times, that Ross is so important to this team and so important to the way we play, and we don't have a natural replacement for him.
No. I think we really, really need to look at that situation, because obviously we've seen Shanley, and again, no disrespect to him, but he's not.
He's a different type of striker, isn't he? He's a different type of striker.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. We just don't have a direct replacement, unfortunately, which is a shame, but it's probably the only position that doesn't, it feels like we don't have a like-for-like replacement there. And I'm hopeful he's back for Wraith. I think Finn deserves to keep his space as well for Wraith if he's fit as well. So, and that's another big game, which we'll talk about later on. But it was just a hard, hard half of football as a Falkirk fan to watch, because
They really did not deserve it.
No, it wasn't a 5-2 game. It wasn't a 5.
I mean, Eder's obviously, you know, goes on to score the two goals in the 2 minutes. What, you know, talk about offside, couple of offsides for it, but looking back at it, do you think at that point we could have managed the game just a wee bit better? Or do you just think the changes and the injuries that we had a big effect on it?
So this is where I think, so they got the second goal and then there was that delay with VAR. And then I don't know if the players just maybe switched off a bit and then they got that third goal so quick. Mm. I don't know if it was, and that's what I'm putting it down to that. That's what I'm putting down. Had there not been that delay and they just got straight back into it, but the fact there was that couple of minutes delay, they just switched off and then get that third goal and then that just, I think that just killed it.
Yeah, no, I agree, Craig. It was almost like a talk about a virtuous cycle, but it was a vicious cycle because with the subs, the injuries, the confidence for losing the goal, the VAR check, which John, it did, it felt like it went on for about 4 minutes. I don't know how long it actually was, but it felt like an absolute eternity. And Craig's right, we just didn't switch on. I can't remember who might have been. It might have been Saki. Give the ball away. And but the boy Kuhn came on and he was bloody dangerous. Like
he said, did he not set up two as well and score two?
It was a tough watch, yeah, from our perspective. Obviously the Celtic fans were absolutely loving it. They were quiet most of the game, up until they took the lead, to be honest. Apart from the ultras in the corner, obviously. But it was a hard watch the last 20 minutes. And when they got the fifth one, which I think was at about 82 minutes, yeah, I'm thinking there was injury time, maybe 7 or 8 minutes worth of injury time coming. However, I had forgotten, and we all forgot this, that if you're 3 goals or more up, they limit it to 2 minutes, don't they? So that's
is
why,
that right?
That's why there wasn't a shit ton of injury time.
I didn't realise that.
John, honestly, like McKeever was down for like 2.5 minutes. There was other stoppages in play as well. But yeah, apparently that, happy to be corrected, but that's what the discussion was on Sunday. Because everybody was a bit shocked then, and someone said, oh no, you only get 2 minutes if there's three more, if the goal difference is three or more.
Good facts, Ross. I did not know that.
I'm here for it because I just wanted the game to end by that point.
You're like, I know. It was so disheartening. And then by that time, I had moved off my dessert and was on to my coffee. And just the Celtic supporter opposite me took great delight saying, "That's another one. That's another one." But listen, you know, and what obviously the red card from Michael McKenna, a bit of a kick in the stones. Then I thought it was harsh. I thought it was really harsh.
I think it was a 50-50, and he just mistimed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's
it was similar to the call one, like, I guess. Last season,
I don't know if it was as high as Cole's.
Not as high as one. No one could be as high as Cole's one.
But I think see with the crowd and like the crowd shouting for it, and the player went down like he'd been shot in the face as well. I just think it was. McKenna just feels like he's not up to speed yet. I don't know if it's. I know he was a delayed start with the training, pre-season and stuff, but I'm not saying that's why he got sent off, but he just looked a little bit off the pace when he was on. Maybe a bit of confidence lacking as well. I don't know.
When they bring on, it was Nicholas Kuhn, which, like you say, it was the subs, and Ross going off, I think, would have been probably looking from the outside in, it would have been vital to, it's obviously a vital player to the way we play in our hold up play. So, but yes, there we go. Hard to take at the end.
Hard to take, but see at the end, I've never been so proud to clap a team off. And I know there was the whole chat pre-match about like the Falkirk fans getting locked in for 10, 15 minutes at the end. I don't actually think that ended up happening, because there was people that left, but the vast majority, like 95% of the fans stayed. And, It was a weird not a celebration, but it was a weird like moment with the players, because obviously they were disappointed, they were knackered, obviously, but it's almost like they didn't want to leave the pitch either, because the fans had just, honestly, I've never heard a noise and celebrations like that at a Falkirk game in years, if at all. And they appreciated it. Celtic were obviously doing their lap of honour as well. And two things I want to say, because I know not everyone likes this, but one, Brendan Rodgers, who I've not really got any time for. I'm not a Celtic fan or Irishman or whatever, but he came over, clapped the Falkirk fans as well, which is a nice wee touch. Apparently, he went into the Falkirk dressing room after the game as well. Yeah. But obviously, Casper came over and gave the fans a big clap and a couple of waves, and the fans gave him a good ovation back as well. So that was a nice
That's nice. That's nice that Casper's done that and he's remembered the club with fondness. I really like that. That's good. But yeah, Brendan went into the, you know, obviously him and McGuinn being quite pally, had went in, I think, into the dressing room and just said, you know, and he's come out in the press and said, I think it's very telling for Rangers supporters. He said, we're the best team that he's played against. I think it was a slight wee dig at the Rangers, but...
Possibly.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you've got to walk out proud of the team and what they did there. Just a shame, like, obviously, quality and fitness play into it. Injuries as well.
Yeah.
So it was just a shame the way it ended up. And, you know, if it had ended up 3-2, it would have been probably a fairer result, would you say?
I would say so.
I would definitely say so. Like 3-4-2 would be, you know, that just that extra goal. When it kind of gets into the 5-6s, you think. But, you know, for a championship team, we did go toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's get into what you guys are saying. I've actually lost my bit of paper. In fact, let's hear from John McGuinn first of all. Now, I'm definitely going to put John McGuinn in at this point. I forgot to do it last week. So here's John McGuinn post-Celtic.
John, the scoreline maybe doesn't reflect this, but I'd say you have to be pretty pleased with the performance you guys gave out there today.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the players today. Yeah. I mean, it was always going to be a tall order. We knew that, you know, playing against the Champions of Scotland, game against a team that in the Champions League on Wednesday night just steamrolled a team 5-1, and we went toe-to-toe with Celtic today. We scored a really good goal, first goal was McKeever, great shot, and you know, we weathered the sort of storm early on that we expected from Celtic to come right at us for the off, which they tried to do. We managed to kind of stifle that. Nicky had one really good save. He's tipped it around the corner for a corner, and you know, we dealt with those situations, and we played some really good football. Really, really pleased with the opening stages of the game. Yeah, they managed to get a goal back. Good goal, played in. Maybe just lost a runner, and you know, a really good, really good strike, one each, and then, you know, we played ourselves into the game. We played some good football. Alfie's done well down there at that side. Ball in the box, Finn Yates has got to sell into that really, really good position. And it's a really, really composed and calm finish, heading into the back across the goal and in. So to come in at half-time 2-1 up, you know, it's basically the things you dream of, to come here and be in that situation. And of course, we then want to go on and finish the job. And 60 minutes or so before Celtic have got to go and put their four subs on, and it shows a big, big statement to our players that that's what Celtic had to do and what Brendan Rodgers had to do. The amount of money that he was putting on the pitch, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with the team they put out. There was a team there that was, cost a lot of money, so a lot of good players. And we actually dealt with them very, very well. Our shape defensively and with the ball was very, very good. We caused problems. I think, but the big difference was when the subs came on for Celtic, they just gave them a huge lift, energy coming on when our guys are starting to tire that little bit. And of course, every minute after that, our guys are going to tire more and more because they've had to put in so much work into that game, the whole game, for what goal, the work rate that they put in. Again, you know, we lost 5 goals, and yet I thought defensively we were very good. You know, the 2 centre-backs were great, Sean, Keelan, you know, and the midfield, 3 in there, Yatesy, Brad and Dylan and Yatesy in there, the 3 of them working so hard. The wide players, Calvin and Alfie and Big Ross, work so hard. And of course, you know, the guys coming on also. So that, no negativity, no criticism whatsoever. We've got to learn from playing individually, these players playing against Celtic players out here today, this stage that we've played on today, wanting to come back and play more often, taking that into our league campaign going forward.
John, Super John, big one.
He was happy.
Slightly concerned that the Hearts job's come up.
A little bit. However,
I'm a little bit concerned about.
I'm not convinced they would go for John McGlynn, and it's not because
I don't think so because it's not a sexy appointment.
No, I think they'll want to go for someone high profile, or someone completely off the cuff like Aberdeen did with.
Well, obviously the boy coming in from Brighton, you know, in the model he's implemented at Brighton with the manager choices and all this Moneyball pish. So there's a very good chance that it'll be someone we're probably not even heard of who comes in and went. But I don't think the Hearts supporters, it's a terrible thing to say, but it's an ageist thing that because John McGlynn is 62, that there's this perception that, you know, he doesn't play a brand of football.
Listen, he'd be a brilliant appointment for Hearts or St Johnstone. We don't want him to go, and let's hope he doesn't. But in terms of if he went to either of these teams, he would improve them.
My worry is that he saw yesterday and we saw what he could do at that level. But I think the Hearts fans probably want someone a bit more sexier. And I think obviously with St Johnstone and the American owners, they'll want a young dynamic manager that can do PowerPoints pretty much, I would suspect. But it's slightly worried, but you know, John, you know, proud of the players as you heard there. And I think, you know, as a Falkirk supporter, and obviously John always thanks the supporters at the end, and good to hear in the interview as well that Ross might not be it seems like it could just be a knock, which is big news for Starks Park come Saturday. Let's see what you guys had to say. Hundreds and hundreds of people got in touch with us, lots of Celtic supporters as well. Now I'm a wee bit on this, like, so we asked for your views. See all this pat on the head. Well done. Yous are a good. I find it really patronising. Now, I appreciate a lot of Celtic supporters have come out and said, he's played well, best team have played, blah, 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 blah. And obviously Brendan Rodgers said it himself. But it feels a bit patronising. Do you know what I mean?
It didn't at the beginning, but it now is. Like, obviously, we're 24 hours or more, 30 hours after the game. And yeah, I've had enough of the plaudits, and I just want to think about Wraith on Saturday now.
Yeah,
I think this is a bit of a dig at Rangers, though.
Probably.
Do you know what? It probably is. We know how
it's a bit mind games with Rangers fans. Yeah. Just to say, look, Falkirk's gave us a better game than yous ever did. So, just, you know, I think it's a bit fishing there with the Rangers fans as well, but. It's nice to hear, though.
The oddest comment I saw from a Celtic fan, and I had to check it was a Celtic fan, is when they replied to us saying, Morton brought more fans. Fuck off. Morton don't bring more fans to their own games. Never mind.
Exactly. Jesus. Morton can't
get a grip.
I did find it quite happy that it was a lottery, you know, for when they played Queen's Park. It's like, we're having a lottery. Ah, you don't need to do that, boys.
No, they don't.
But let's hear what you guys were saying. Gwenda, I've only got a few of these, Ross. I've only got two of them. You'll have the rest there because I don't know why my printout doesn't have them.
Okay.
Ross, so I'll kick off with the first two. Gwenda says, proud of every single one of the team. Come on, you Bairns. And Scott M says, brilliant performance. The team played really well, especially in the first half. An unfortunate two-goal sucker punch hurt us. Proud to be a Bairn. Plenty of premierships team would be happy of that performance, as we will be next season. There you go.
Yeah, loving his confidence. Yep. Amanda kept it short and sweet. Proud to be a Bairn, which I loved. Yeah. Andy says 5-2 was very harsh. They played well and deserved more. The Celtic fans were beginning to get on the team's back in the second half before they scored. And it's true, there were a lot of moans and groans at that point. And it's a shame that we couldn't have held up maybe a bit longer, but it is what it is. Scott H said, we had a dream, and sometimes dreams come true, just not today. I like that. And obviously, I'm a bit of a cheese master, so I love
that. Oh, you love that stuff. Yeah. Oh, my God. You're sitting in your office there. Have you got some sort of, you'll have some sort of quote on your walls. I bet you're that guy.
I'll tell you what. It's very similar to that, right?
Right.
Are you ready for it? It is cheesy. Oh, come on. You've got to have a dream, because if you don't have a dream, how can you have a dream come true?
Jesus Christ.
I have that literally just there. Anyway.
Anyway.
But yeah, but Scott Age, totally agree. Stephen says, for 70 minutes, that was better than Montrose. Absolutely fantastic from every man and every fan. I love this club. Scott W, one of the best feelings I've had as a Falkirk fan when that second goal went in. An incredible effort from the boys. Callum said, didn't think I could have been prouder of this group, but to take the lead at Celtic Park twice, wow, what a squad. And last but not least, Tam, absolutely class today. The team, the fans and the club done us proud. Took them to bring on £25 million in subs to beat us. The navy blue train continues to roll.
Amazing. Absolutely. I cannot believe I missed that. I honestly can't believe it. At least, I mean, if we had won, it would have been an absolute... It would have been Hearts all over again. It would have been Hearts 4-0. I would never have heard the end of it. But, you know, obviously, I'd rather we won. But, no, I'm just like... I can't wait to go and watch the full thing and just, you know, feel what you guys felt yesterday, because it just...
Just watch the first half. Just
I'll watch the first half. Absolutely. Listen, we normally do the quiz at this point, but it's currently 20 to 10 at night. I've been in work since 10 o'clock this morning. I want to get home and get some dinner. So you're going to get let off, Craig. Because, I mean, we're like the Invincibles, me and Ross. We're clearing everyone in our path at the moment. So you're going to get away lightly today, because is that okay,
we'll
Ross?
I'll a bait then.
Right, okay.
I think we need to give them the win then, if we're not giving them the win.
That's a forfeit.
Absolutely. Don't you be forfeiting me. No chance. Absolutely no chance. We'll get you back on and we'll do it. We're not taking a forfeit. No way. We'll do it. We'll catch up on it, our quiz next week. But Craig, listen, we need to do our Falkirk Daft and rated and Falkirk Dafties of the match. So Falkirk Daft rated player for you, Ross Wayne.
As I say, it could have been McKeever, Yeats. That's so many through the team, but I'm going to go big Ross for his finish and his overall performance when he was on the park.
Craig?
I'm going to be Keelan Adams. I thought he was outstanding. He just, for where he's came from and where he is now, he didn't look out of place at all. And he's just, his energy again, running up and down the right. He had the boy in his back pocket. I thought he was phenomenal yesterday. So he's my pick.
I think those two arguments, Craig has presented the best argument there. And the story of Keelan Adams coming on calls, like you say to Ross, park to Parkhead. I'm going to give it. I've not seen him, but I am trusting Craig implicitly, and we'll give the Falkirk Daft rated to Keelan Adams this week. There we go. Have we got a Falkirk Dafty?
I think it would be really tough to give anyone in the team, although obviously I know McKenna got sent off. So I'm not going to give it to it. The only thing that pissed me off yesterday, and I don't know how Craig got to the game or home, but I was obviously on one of the supporters' buses for the Graham Hotel. And where they park the buses at Parkhead is a fucking shambles, by the way. And so it took us an hour to move down two streets. So I'm going to give Police Scotland, who just sat and watched carnage amongst all the buses and the cars trying to get out of that street. So I'm going to go Police Scotland.
Any nominations from you, Craig?
I'm going with the officials in VAR. So this VAR just needs to go. It's just, never liked it. Even for that semi-final, and it was, do you know what? It's just, VAR, it doesn't work. It does not work. And I blame VAR for the third goal. So yeah, I'm going with VAR.
I'll happily back VAR as well. Hate it as well.
VAR Dafties of the Week. There we go. VAR officials, Dafties of the Week. Brilliant. Oh, listen, Craig, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Really appreciate your time. If you want to be a pundit just like Craig, it's dead easy. Drop us an email, pundits@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or you can slide into our DMs on Twitter, Instagram, and you can just be like Craig this time next week. Thank you very much, mate.
Cheers, Craig.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Have a nice night.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue. Are you?
Every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to the game, and it is a trip to Starks Park. First one in ages. Really looking forward to it. And we've already spoke to his colleague this season, and Mr. Craig Telfer. So we've invited a terrace. I would say the best person on the terrace, Sean. Sean McGuigan, everyone, from the terrace, which is back on the tellies this Friday night. Sean, thank you so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft.
I'm not sure I'm the best by any stretch of imagination, but I'm flattered. But thank you very much. And yes, we are back on Friday, but I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can I just say, I'm shocked that John just said that, because it's not that you're not my favourite as well. You are. However, I think everyone will go... we've picked a fifer as the best person on the terrace. That's a shock in itself.
I get, but Craig's always having a go at Falkirk. I don't hear Sean having many goes at Falkirk.
That's true.
I mean, I do have the occasional dig, to be fair, but not as many as Craig Telfer.
Just jumping on his bandwagon, Sean. Let's talk about the Rovers. It's been an interesting time, I think, since January. When you had this kind of real dip in form and then struggling to win games, and then it was like two bald men fighting over a comb between you and Dundee United at some points. But you had this amazing run where you scored in the last minute, pushing Dundee United all the way. I mean, how surprised at it were you last season? Did it just come too soon, that challenge? Were you surprised that you were able to keep up with Dundee United last season?
So I think at the start of last season, I expected Raith Rovers to do very well. I thought Dundee United would win the division handsomely. And I thought second place would be between like ourselves and Partick Thistle. But finishing in the playoffs would be absolutely acceptable. What actually transpired was I lost count of the amount of games that we won in the kind of dying embers. We kind of pushed Dundee United all the way. We got to the final of the playoffs. It was... I mean, I think in terms of finishing position, most successive season since the 90s, certainly in terms of I've been going, probably the best laugh I've had since going to the Wraith and since going to the Rovers games in the mid-90s. So I was genuinely, like, just last season was brilliant, really enjoyed it and was looking forward to this one. I must admit, my expectations were tempered. I didn't think we had quite as strong a squad. And then, of course, you had the situation where Ian Murray was sacked after one league game, which was an extraordinary and fascinating scenario.
The Ian Murray thing, the fact we had that awful video of the Love Actually parody back at Christmas time with him getting his, I mean, that just, you know, and Andy Barman and what have you. But then, you know, he gets his contract, obviously, you know, off the back of what you guys were doing last season, and then pumped out, like, after one league game. What's the background behind that, Sean? It was all sorts, you know what football's like. It was all sorts of rumours about falling out the players going to the Andy Barman, wanting to get him out. Do you know why he was going, or was it just results hadn't been good enough since the turn of the year?
So I don't know anything different from the kind of official turn of events. So I'd been away for the weekend. So I kind of got back to Scotland. You kind of land at Edinburgh, switch your phone on, because I kind of watched Raith Airdrie abroad, and we were atrocious, don't get me wrong, we were atrocious, but there was nobody, there was no Raith fans, no right-minded Raith fans, as far as I'm aware, that thought Ian Murray should be, like, his job was at risk. Yes, the second half of the season was good rather than great, but that's fine, like, that's not an issue when you're a Raith Rovers fan. League Cup campaign hadn't been great, who cares? The 1-0 defeat to Airdrie, we were absolutely atrocious in that game. Like, really poor, worryingly so. But again, like, nobody was... There was no Wraith fans that were pushing for money to be dismissed. So I'd landed at Edinburgh, whatever it was, kind of maybe early afternoon on the Sunday. Then you switch your phone on, and I'd seen a headline that Murray was away, and I was like, oh, Murray, he must have been poached. He must have been poached by a club, he must be. And I was like, well, he can't be going up to the... somebody who's like bottom six in the Premiership. Maybe he's away down south. And it turned out that he'd been sacked. And I was like, this seems very, very strange. I cannot get my head around this. And I mean, I don't know if either of you watched the interview with Andy Barraman, which was Murray was sacked on the Sunday. Barraman's interview was the Monday. A long interview, it was like 18 minutes. But I suppose when you essentially kind of filter it down, the gist of it was that ultimately the board felt that Ian Murray was not the right man to take Raith Rovers forward. Now, I suppose, putting myself in Andy Barraman's shoes, for example, if that's what they genuinely felt, that he wasn't the right man, like if they talk to players, if they see what's going on behind the scenes, but obviously we don't as fans, we don't see what's going on behind the scenes, and they genuinely feel that, then maybe being decisive, there is a logic to it. As much as I don't necessarily agree with it, there is a logic to what they did. However, fans will only buy into it if what happens after that is a success.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure that what will go on this season or what will transpire from this point onwards is going to be better than what happened when we had Ian Murray in charge.
I think, Sean, see for me, it was obviously because I watched the interview with Andy Barraman as well, and obviously he talked about the results not being good enough, the performances not being good enough. I found the timing just very odd. Like, if he talked about the performance towards, like, from January onwards and his justification. So if that was the case, why not have a conversation with him in May? Why give him all pre-season? He's brought players in. Good players, by the way. I think we'll come on to the ins and outs. But for me, Raith on paper have a brilliant squad. And you just feel, why give him that chance to build a squad if you're going to empty him after, like, the first league game?
Yeah, timing is very much questionable. Again, I suppose it comes down to the fact that I suppose the board, and again, I'm not entirely sure, I don't know if Barraman really gets into this. I think Barraman suggests that they gave him 8 games because they had pre-season friendlies, a League Cup campaign, and a single league game. Now, I refuse to believe that you give a manager pre-season friendlies.
No, I'm
not taking that whatsoever. I also struggle to buy into a League Cup campaign. Regardless, I must admit, I watched the games and the 4 matches, and as much as the results were probably by and large what you would expect, we kind of beat the lower league teams, we drew with Hamilton, we lost to Ross County. By and large, the performances were concerning. It felt like none of the issues from the season previous, which was getting behind teams, creating chances, which was the kind of hindrance from kind of January, February onwards. It felt like none of those had been addressed. However, I didn't think that was Ian Murray's fault, because the situation at Starks Park is that there's a recruitment team. So Ian Murray wasn't necessarily in charge of every signing that comes in.
Yeah.
There's like Brian Potter has a massive kind of say in that. So my thoughts were, at the start of the season, my expectations were reasonably low and I was concerned about the season, and I didn't have a lot of faith that Raith would finish in the top 4. Didn't think we'd be ninth, to be fair. But I didn't think we'd be in the top 4. But I didn't think that was Ian Murray's fault. I thought that kind of fell on the recruitment team, of which Murray was a part of, but not, like, it wasn't solely his decisions, I suppose.
Yeah, because from the outside looking in, Sean, it really did look that Raith, like Ayr, had rolled the dice this season to get that promotion. When you're looking at Hanlon, you're looking at Stevenson being brought in, presumably on quite a lot of money for the championship. Do you think that's kind of played into Murray losing his job then?
To a degree, I think what...
Don't trust him with the train set.
I said this at the start of the season, in terms of, from kind of February onwards, Raith were defensively okay, but struggled to create chances. So over the summer, they brought in Lewis Stevenson, which I think is an upgrade at left back. They brought in Paul Hanlon, which I think is an upgrade at centre-half. But what have they done to upgrade the middle of the park? Because we were struggling to create chances. Because actually, clean sheets over the last half of the season was okay.
Mm.
So defensively, we weren't too bad. And I think we probably improved that in theory, but we struggled to open teams up. What have we done to fix that? Not enough. What have we done to solve the fact that we weren't scoring enough goals? Have they really? I mean, we ended the season with Jack Hamilton, Lewis Vaughan, and Zach Rudden as strikers. Still have Jack Hamilton. Still have Lewis Vaughan. Looks like he got a serious injury on Saturday, unfortunately. So actually, we have fewer options now than we ended last season. So yes, we've fixed defensively. We've certainly brought in recruitments. I'm not sure we've done enough in front of that to kind of push Wraith as a kind of promotion favourite, in my opinion.
See with the re-signing of Dylan Easton, I thought that was because obviously he was courted from an awful lot of teams. I know John McGlynn's been a fan of him for a few years as well. I think he tried to sign him in 2022 from Airdrie. But that, for me, like, that's a guy that you build around. And I think you're right, Sean, like, in terms of that midfield and going forward, he maybe hasn't got that changed. And obviously Neil Collins has come in. And I know there's still been, like, recruitment in. But like you've said, I still don't think they've actually improved the front areas, though, have they?
So in terms of Miller Park, so Saturday, for example, so like 3-0 draw with Hamilton, 3-1 up with 10 minutes to go, whatever it was, hugely frustrating. However, every other Saturday this season has been atrocious. So I suppose frustration is a progression of sorts. In terms of Miller Park, I thought Finlay Pollock, who they got on loan from Hearts, I wasn't sure what to make of him. Like, I know there'd been a big deal about the fact that he had, whatever it was, 5 assists in 5 games, but it's a lowland league. So you think, right, yeah, well, that's all well and good, but can you make the step up? Actually, he looked pretty good against Hamilton. He's quick, he's direct, he wants to be involved. He technically seems like a very good football player. I thought his finish, when he took the ball around the goalkeeper, was very composed. So I was impressed by him. So potentially they've kind of added something in the middle of the park. Was impressed by him. They've now seen a right back in terms of Fekati Dabo. We'll see how that goes. I mean, he's had a decent CV. Played about 150 games for Coventry. Been in Holland. I think started his career with Chelsea, for example. So he's just come up. We'll see how that goes. I still think they need some kind of presence up top. Without that, I think they might have a mediocre season rather than a good one.
Yeah. In terms of the lineup, then, Sean, coming into Saturday, Collins kind of goes for a 3-5-2. If I'm right in saying that, is that how you'll line up on Saturday, do you think?
So normally it does, and so how do we check it? It's funny because, like, as soon as he was appointed, I went on to see how he lined up at Tampa Bay and how he lined up at Barnsley. And pretty much without fail, for about 5 years, week in, week out, it was a 3-5-2. And I was like, I'm not entirely sure we currently have the squad to facilitate that formation. United started in the Challenge Cup. Started with a 3-5-2. Didn't really go very well. It kind of had Ross Matthews as a kind of emergency centre-half. Funnily enough, it didn't work very well. Then we had Dunfermline. And to be fair, you can kind of give him the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, Ewan Murray gets sent off after 50 minutes. However, my concern was we actually looked better after going down to 10 men than we did in his 3-5-2 formation for those first 50 minutes. It looked like nobody really knew what they were doing. I was concerned that the Hamilton game, it would still go with a 3-5-2. That, like, he was maybe so welded to it that he just wanted to go with it. He went 4-4-2 against Hamilton. And it was, I mean, for 70 minutes, it was the best Wraith have played for months. And then for about 18 minutes, they were kind of so-so. And then for 2 minutes, they were kind of cataclysmic. But at least they went back to a formation that I think suits the squad that he has available. So I wouldn't be overly surprised if he kind of sticks with that 4-4-2 formation that for the majority of the game against Hamilton was absolutely fine.
Yeah. Obviously John McGlynn knows Wraith Rovers very well and will be very much looking forward to returning to Stark Park and hopefully getting it up. He's obviously a lot of ex-Wraith players playing Brad Spencer. Sean Mackey's likely to play. Dylan Tate will be playing as well. What do you have? You got any fears of Falkirk, or you know, that whole fear of the ex player coming back to haunt you, or do you think, you know, do you think this is the moment where the unbeaten league run gets stopped by Raith Rovers?
Nah, I tell you the fear. So that for anybody that's listening that might listen to the kind of lower league terrace podcast as well. Last week, so
very good. I listen.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So myself and Craig Telfer discuss a lower league every week, and we spoke about Raith, we spoke about Falkirk, and my point on Raith was obviously that was based on the Dunfermline game. Spoke about the build up to the Hamilton game, and I'd said at that point that my prediction was that Raith would draw against Hamilton. Nobody would be happy at that. I think I said an insipid draw. Turns out that wasn't the case, but it was still a draw. But nobody would be happy at that. And I'd earmarked the Falkirk game as the official start of the Raith Rovers are in crisis period. Right. Because I really do think that there is... I just think Raith Rovers are a kind of... Certainly in the middle of the park. So the fact that they don't have Scott Brown, as far as I'm aware, I don't think he'll be back for this game. The fact they don't have, and that absolutely won't have, Sam Stanton, that essentially is Raith Rovers' central midfield. And when you compare that to Dylan Tate, Brad Spencer, for example, I think that is where the game will be won and lost. I think the only thing that I think there's a hope. Yes, Raith were decent against Hamilton for the bulk of the game, and I don't know. I don't know if you know, in terms of, like, obviously Ross McKeever went off with a knock against Falkirk. I don't know how serious that is, but what I would say, from my opinion, you'll know better than me, but I think McKeever turns Falkirk from a good team into a very good team, and if he's missing, then Raith have a better hope of a draw or a win.
Sean, it's interesting you've said that, because we were talking about that as part of our review of the Celtic game earlier, and we're of the same opinion that we are a different team when he's not playing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we kind of saw that yesterday to a degree. Obviously, it's different. It's difficult because you're playing Celtic, and Celtic just, with the subs they made and the power and the pace they had, it changed the game. But we actually think Ross going off, thankfully, well, for us, thankfully, I think we believe it's just a knock, and I think he will be fine. But when he's not playing, we keep the system the same. We have the same intensity to go forward. It's just different. We don't get the flick-ons that Ross wins. We don't get the hold-up play that Ross does. So it does change it dramatically. But I think you're right as well. I think the midfield sounds like it's gonna. I think it'll be a midfield scrap on Saturday, because I think Raith will not want to lose that game. They're always up for it. In my experience of going to Starks Park for the last, it sounds like you and I have went to football the sort of same sort of length of time. I remember every time you go to Starks, Raith are shooting towards the home end. It's a tough day. It's a tough afternoon. And I expect nothing less than the same again. I think it'll be a proper grudge match. I really do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's going to be a really interesting. I think Raith will have a bit between their teeth, as you know, every Championship team does at the moment, to try and halt this unbeaten run. And we've got past a good few tests. And as I said on the last podcast, it's, you know, someone says, "Oh, we've done all the bogey teams now," and I felt like Yoda in Star Wars when I was like, "There is another," you know, and Raith Rovers is that other. This is the last bogey team we need to get our way. We've done Morton, we've done Dunfermline. So Raith, it's a real challenge. I think, you know, like I say, with all the ex-Raith players going back as well, it's going to be really interesting. Sean, what do you think the score's going to be come Saturday?
So I must admit, up until Saturday, well, certainly when I spoke to Telfer about a week ago, I thought Falkirk would win this handsomely. And I mean, I was concerned about a real pumping, like, as a link, maybe 4-1 Falkirk. I thought we were in real disarray. Saturday has maybe given me a wee bit more hope, but I am still going to lean towards maybe a narrower Falkirk win. I'll say 2-1 Falkirk.
Ross, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I actually think similar score to Sean. I think I'll be. I genuinely think this will be a tough tie. I do think it'll be tight as well. I'm going to go 2-1 Falkirk as well. What are you thinking, John?
I think it might be a draw. You know me on this podcast. I'm always Mr. like half glass.
That's one of the things.
Yeah, I do think Raith Rovers, I think they need to win under Collins at some point. I don't think it'll be on Saturday, but as Sean was saying there, you know, there's signs of improvement there, and it's obviously he's getting his feet under the table. The new players that he brought out, Fancati Dapo, by the way, this guy's got cult hero. I've just looked at a picture of him. This man is going to be an absolute cult hero of Scottish.
I love him already.
No, that's just based on his name and his looks. So there you go.
Yes, and absolutely.
I mean, right back's a position I think you guys have struggled at this season.
Yeah,
we
have.
But yeah, I think it might be a wee cheeky Desmond. I'm going to go for a 2-2 on Saturday. I think it'll be a good game of football. You know, the way we're playing, it depends how, you know, I think all the plaudits we're getting off the back of Celtic as well, Ross. And if Finn, it'll be interesting to see if Finn Yeats plays or if they bring Gary back in off the bench. And my worry is if Ross is injured, it's a big loss, because then you're going to look at putting Gary Oliver into the nine or Ryan Shanley into the nine. And like you say, and like we've talked about in the podcast so many times, no one can do the job that Ross does. So it'll be all dependent on that, I think.
No, I think so as well, John. And I'm genuinely looking forward to it. I know I kind of harped back to it a few minutes ago, but I like in a way that it starts. I don't know if the old haunts are still open in terms of the drinking establishments that we used to frequent in Kirkcaldy, but I think a big crowd. Wraith have sold a huge number of season tickets this year as well. Falkirk will travel well again. I'd expect maybe 1,500 to 2,000 Bairns fans at the game, so you can be looking at a 5,000 plus crowd, which is brilliant again for the championship. And the only certainty I think will be Dylan Tate getting either a booking or a sending off, because
absolutely guaranteed. You know exactly what Dylan's doing if he scores.
Yeah, if he scores, especially if he scores up the home end, he's actually going to jump into the crowd and just like start his sort of ear stuff that he seems to be doing in a week.
So I love Tate. Honestly, I love Tate. And then see when he came through at Stats Back, it was maybe 2019, I think he came through, so like 5 years ago. And I've, like, there was a, in terms of young players, so he came through, Kieran Bowie came through that season as well. And I genuinely thought that both of them would do exceptionally well and certainly would have good careers. And when he went to Hibs, wasn't surprised. I was surprised when he went and had kind of disappointing loan spells at kind of Killy and Arbroath and Hamilton. So I am delighted to see that Tate is now doing as well as I. Like, I still think Tate has a high ceiling, but regardless, I'm delighted that Tate is doing as well as I thought he would do a good few years ago. Yeah.
Still only 22 as well, when you think of all the clubs that he's been at, you know, so he's still got that. Question for me, and this is a very strange question. Is there still a strippers in Kirkcaldy? There used to be a strippers in Kirkcaldy, didn't there?
Is there strippers in Kirkcaldy?
John, that can't be a serious question for the
genuinely question.
No, wait a minute. So basically, I mean, official strippers, if that's what you want to know about, there was there was Kitty's, which is one of the best nightclubs in Fife.
Yeah.
And then there was a wee bit next door that opened up that was called Sin.
Is that what it was? Because I've heard all sorts of stories. My mate used to DJ in Kitty's, and then he said,
It sounds like your mate went to Sin to get lap dancing. That's not only is that closed, it is burnt to the ground.
All right.
Sean, just to go back a second, you said an official stripper. Where's the unofficial stripper? What does an unofficial stripper actually look like?
As far as I'm aware, there has been unofficial strippers evenings at pubs like Windsor, for example. But in terms of just an official strippers club, Sin was the only one that was...
Right, okay, I always find that really fascinating. There was a strippers in Kirkcaldy, and I'm just like...
No, not anymore. Not anymore. World, yeah, sorry.
There you go. There you
does
go.
That so mean you're not coming anymore?
No, I'm done.
Hey, that's what she said.
Jesus God. And we went into the depths of a carry-on film yet again on Falkirk Daft. Fantastic. Listen, Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us back on what time is it on BBC One?
It's on Friday night on BBC Scotland at 10:30 p.m. And we will be being very complimentary to Falkirk. But for that and for various other reasons, please tune in.
Is it on? Is Graham Norton start back this weekend as well? I think as well on Friday night.
I don't know. He's certainly not on a view from the terrace, so I'm not aware of what he's up to.
It used to be Graham Norton, and I'd just sit and watch the terrace after it. So I think it's a little bumper, you know, going from that slot into that slot. So no, looking forward to it, with Sean, and I always think the packages and everything that you guys do, and how he's obviously shine a light on those clubs out with the Glasgow too. I always appreciate that. So, Sean, thanks so much. Enjoy the game on Saturday. And thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
Oof. There you go. Falkirk Daft done for another episode. Ross, we're creeping up to episode 100.
We are. Yes, this is what, 98? So a couple of weeks time, what will that be? Post Air United
big game.
It is a big game,
so we're going to do some special things around that, so that'll be good fun. Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much for listening or watching us wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube. Like and subscribe, we're over 1,000 subscribers now. Fantastic. So thank you so much for subscribing, and that means you'll get, if you hit the little bell button, you'll get alerted whenever a new podcast drops as well. So do that. Thanks to our sponsors, of course, Behind the Wall, Falkirk Football Fans in Training. If you want to sponsor, we still have room. We can talk about your business. For example, let's talk about the Roman Bar, Ross. Sell the Roman Bar to me now.
So the Roman Bar has a fine selection of ales, a very clean gents toilet, and it's appropriately located on Camlan Mead Street. There you go.
If you want to get involved with the show, throw up as an email, sales@falkirkdaft.co.uk. We'd love to keep Ross in the hospitality that he's so used to. And then Falkirk Daft Live, just around the corner, we'll give you details. Keep an eye on the socials, people. There's info coming soon on the guests. So keep an eye on our socials. Gutted I missed the game. Absolutely gutted I missed the game. But great to hear about it. Great to catch up with Sean about the game on Saturday as well. They just keep coming, Ross. And it is that, you know, that load of the unbeaten league run on our back, and the fact that we're sitting, you know, with two games in hand at the top of the table just now, second on goal difference. It's exciting, buddy,
and it's a long time coming, and I think we make the most of it, because who knows when we'll have a bad game or a bad score. But do you know what, I don't see the mood changing, even if it does. I think the train, as they say, will keep on ploughing on.
Train is ploughing down, we're flying down the tracks, and let's hope we get a win at Kirkcaldy come Saturday. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. We'll see you on the next one, and until that time,
expect the unexpected, buddy, as always.